Josh Gallion, state auditor. I think he's on deck here. We're going to be talking to him. The big question I have for Josh is, why do you hate legislators so much? So can we bring him on?
Yeah, Josh.
Yes.
Josh, good morning.
Can you hear me?
Mr. Gallion, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Gosh, great morning. It's a great Friday morning.
It is indeed. So did you hear the question I have posed for you? It's a number one question. Why do you hate the state legislators?
I don't understand where that's coming from.
So let me lay the foundation here just a little bit. So you're the state auditor elected by the people, first elected in 2016, reelected in 2020. The state auditor, and these are my words, not yours, is in charge of making sure that things in state government are running properly and the taxpayers' money is properly accounted for, so on and so forth. So I think you should be considered a friend of the people, but sometimes state agencies and state elected officials maybe look at you with a slightly skewed glance because, of course, you're holding people accountable. And you've been on the hot seat for, gosh, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. And so it sounds like there's a lot
almost
of
6 years.
Conflict. Almost, yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of conflict between you and some legislators, maybe some officials. So can you lay the groundwork of where things are at now, what's going on? Because we hear a lot about it in various media reports.
So some of the issues, and of course I get accused of all kinds of things, but really the conflict between the auditor's office and the legislature, it goes well past before I was even the state auditor. I mean, if you go back towards the end of 2016, you know, there was, in fact, 2015, when there was some discussions about the university foundations, having the auditor's office look into some of the donations, making sure those donations are actually meeting the wishes of those donors, as that money goes from the foundation to the university. You know, that created a huge conflict between the auditor's office and some legislators. And so I don't want people to have the impression that it's for me. This conflict has been going on for a very, very long time. I'm open to talking with any legislator. I'm open to sitting down and addressing issues, and we've done that on several occasions. You know, we've got Senate Bill 2180 that went through that corrects and improves a lot of things that, that across the state we're dealing with. We've worked with the Bank of North Dakota to work on Senate Bill 2233, as well as with legislators. So this whole notion that, you know, I hate legislators or these constant fights is a little inaccurate. I think it's some people maybe trying to embellish or mislead some of their audiences.
Right. Well, you know, from my standpoint, because I was in the legislature from 2013 to 2023 now, so 10 years, in my opinion, you were doing your job really well. You were finding these things. You were letting the taxpayers know what you were finding, and that was rubbing people the wrong way. It seems to me, as an ex-legislator, that there were certain legislators that had a vendetta against the state treasurer back around 2010 to 2016. And then now they've got a vendetta, and some of the same legislators, they've got a vendetta against you. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be some ego. I think it is good old boy, a country club protection. I don't think people like to be held accountable. And from my standpoint, you have done an exemplary job of holding people accountable just within your lane, just what you were elected to do, your actual job. And I think that some people resent that.
That's very possible. And if you listen to some of the comments that have been made during, you know, these committee hearings, they feel, from my perspective, sometimes they feel more like trials, and I'm guilty until proven innocent. But some of the comments they add, you know, the problems we've had for the last 6 years, which clearly it points at me. Well, what I can assure the citizens of this state is when I came on board and I started evaluating all of our internal processes, our procedures, and then tying those back to the Century Code, because if the law doesn't say you can, then you can't. And so we want to make sure that we are abiding by the laws. And from my experience, I want to I want to make sure that we are adhering to those laws to the highest standards. I want to make sure that we are applying the auditing standards to the highest levels. And so what we've done over the last 6 years is we're following the law,
right,
the way it's written. And so, that seems to be what's, in some cases, getting me in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
because we're following the laws that they passed, and now we're putting that into action, and legislators are, well, you shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, well, but it's right here in the Century Code that you crafted.
Right. Let's make things a little more tangible. Give some examples, and I'll get to the, we'll say it this way. Give me an example or two where you did an audit and it showed that an agency or whatever governmental entity really came out with flying colors. And then I want you, so that the listeners know what you are doing for them. What have you found in audits that have shown some problems? And again, not that we're looking to punish people, but we want people to improve if they're not doing things the proper way. So give a couple of good examples, and then give a couple or more examples where you really have ferreted out some issues to the benefit of the taxpayers of North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of the positive, and that's a great question, Rick, because I think people see audits and they just focus on the negative. But we do have many outstanding clients out there. A couple that really come to mind, State Mill and Elevator. We do a financial statement audit of the State Mill and Elevator. In fact, we've created an excellence award, and we've given them that award for their efforts in making sure that they've got good financial statements. They've got good control environment. So there's one positive example. A second positive example is up in Devil's Lake. You know, we've actually been working with that client over the years. I want to say it's been 15, almost 20 years, I think, to help them gain the knowledge and understanding where they can create their own financial statements. They can do all of the work themselves, and then we come in and just conduct the audit. So it saves their community money from the auditing standpoint. It enhances the knowledge and skills of those individuals. So those are a couple of the positive examples of clients that we have. Some of the other areas where we come in, and again, when we step into an audit, our focus is how can we leverage our talents, our skills within this organization to help improve. And that's really how we approached the school district up in Williston, which was a petition audit. So the citizens in that community garnered enough signatures for the auditor's office to come in and conduct that audit. There was a lot of findings, but through the whole process, the new superintendent, we have been working with him, the new business manager working with them to make sure that we can provide those breadcrumbs and those tidbits of information that they need to improve their operations. So those are just a few examples that we have out there.
So yeah, Williston is a great example. That was, your findings revealed that the situation up there was a total crap show. And to the benefit of the taxpayers in the Williston School District area, those can now all be remedied. There's no way you can improve if you don't recognize the areas that need to be improved. So listen, Josh, we're going to hold you over. I want to talk about a bill that's going through the legislature right now that dramatically affects your office. So let's take a break, and we'll pick it up after the break here. Hey, welcome back. It's News and Views. I'm Rick Becker filling in for Joel Heitkamp. Our guest right now is State Auditor Josh Galley, and we're discussing his role and maybe a little controversy that really shouldn't be too controversial. But welcome back, Josh. I want to talk a little bit about HB 1508. I think that's the number, isn't it?
That is. That's one of the bills that we're tracking.
All right. So tell me what's going on. What is the legislature attempting to do with this bill and maybe others that affect your office? And where are things at with that?
Well, right now, 1508, as it came across the House, it really had only one stipulation in it, that our financial audits had to be reviewed and approved by a CPA. Really not a big deal, because those financial audits already have numerous levels of reviews, and there are CPAs throughout that process. So it really came across as kind of uncertain to us. It wasn't until when it came to the Senate, that hearing, the prime sponsor introduced an amendment. It had like 12 sections. It stripped away the auditor's office ability to do performance audits. It strips away our ability to step in with local governments if there's some financial concerns or some discrepancies that are reported to us. And then it also adds in a special state auditor that the governor can appoint that can have all the same authorities that I have, but their audits, instead of going back to the legislature like mine, go back to him.
Wow.
And so there's just a lot of concerns with that amendment. I don't understand what they're really trying to accomplish. That special state auditor actually came up last session in a bill, and the legislature overwhelmingly removed that entire section and voted to repeal it. And
that
so for
crazy.
That to be repealed last session, then to come back here in this amendment, it's very odd.
So, well, I mean, it is and it isn't really. I mean, this is about slapping you down. I'm not even in the state legislature. I'm not in the halls hearing the rumors, and it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. This is to slap you down. And I just looked it up here. Representative Emily O'Brien, she's the prime sponsor.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Well, it shows her as the prime sponsor, and I can tell you this is not coming from mm-hmm. her. She's doing someone else's bidding, probably someone else that's listed on the representatives that are introducing it. So this is just to slap you down. This is actually taking away what the voters have chosen to do, because you are elected by the people. And what they want to do is usurp the powers granted to you by the people of North Dakota and bring it back into the good old boys club. I think this is shameful. Representative O'Brien should be ashamed of herself. This is crazy. This isn't even about you. This is about the people of the state, for crying out loud. This bugs me. I had no idea about that amendment. It's not listed in the legislative website at this point.
No, in fact, I had no idea that this amendment was being proposed until...
Did we lose you, Josh? Well,
still there?
Yep, there you go. Yeah, you didn't have any idea until it was introduced when?
So the first Senate hearing, when it went over to crossover, I got a copy of the amendment about 30 minutes into the hearing. It's when I first got a chance to take a look at this. So this has been zero conversation with the prime sponsor. They have yet to reach out to me and actually sit down across from a table and talk about the problems. Again, I mean, this could be punitive. This could be to try to knock the auditor's office down, which
absolutely is.
Again, I agree, concerning, because we do the people's work. We're here for the citizens of this state. We're their eyes and ears looking into government. It's our job to provide that transparency so that this.
I wonder.
We firmly believe here that.
I'm wondering. I'm sorry. We got 1 minute. I just wanted to. I wonder if the people in Emily O'Brien's district know whether she actually lives in that district now. I know she didn't used to, which I've always wondered why the Democrats didn't pick that up. You know, her not living in her own district, which is against the law. But I think it's shameful. We're going to close out here, and I'm going to bring you back around. We'll have one more section of this show to talk about things. But I think that I'll say it one more time. This is punitive to you. And if somebody wants to have their little fights, that's fine. That's the way politics is. But when you go this far and you're trying to take away what the people vote on, that is an abomination. I don't know. I want to see people held accountable for this, because people have to respect what your job is. You are protecting the taxpayers of North Dakota. We are going to be right back. Hang around. He's agreed to hang over this hour here. We're going to do a final segment where he's the state auditor, of course. We're discussing what's happening in the legislature, a particular bill, HB 1508. Josh, thanks for hanging on. Are you there?
I'm here. If you can hear me.
Good. So what else is happening in the legislature? I think you referenced that there were other bills. Are there other things that listeners should be tuning in about, any bills or any other actions affecting the state office? Again, your office being an elected position by the people of North Dakota, and very, very important to protect them and represent them when it comes to all of the other government agencies.
Yeah, so a couple bills that come to mind is our budget bill, Senate Bill 2004. That's before the House right now. That committee is reviewing things, and yeah, they've made some comments about how they might affect policy in the budget bill. So that's something to monitor. If there's something that maybe doesn't get pushed somewhere else, it may drop there. The other thing that we're following is for the school districts. So the payment, I guess, for the student aid payment that could go to the private schools, I want to say that number is about $1,500. There was talks about having DPI monitor all of that, and they said, no, have the auditor's office audit those numbers. And so that's another thing that we're looking at, is maybe being pulled into auditing those payments to the private schools for the school choice vouchers. So
how do you feel
those are
about
a couple
that
things
one?
That we're looking at.
How do you feel about
well,
that?
Well, I mean, if we want to the school one, well, I mean, I support school choice. I think allowing parents to choose the school that's best for their parent their students. As a parent myself, I have one daughter that goes to public school, and I have one daughter that goes to private school, because as my wife and I have evaluated, we want to make sure that we put our kids on the best path of success, and we made that decision. And so I think people having the ability to divert their tax dollars that best support their children, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I agree. The money should follow
it,
the child.
Definitely.
All the way. It's not even about money going to a private school or a religious. It's the money should just follow the kid, in my opinion. But to this bill, do you agree that your office should be the one following the money trail here?
Well, it's kind of odd because in the past we've actually tried to work with legislators to gain access to some of the student enrollment numbers to verify these student aid payments, and they have said no. Don't look at that. But now that money's going to private schools, they want us to potentially look at this. So it's a little different. But again, we're more than happy to be able to provide the citizens that level of assurance. If that's what we're called to do and asked to do, then the auditor's office, that's why we're here.
Good. What else is happening, Josh?
Well, the other thing I want to make sure I just get across is, you know, this whole notion that the auditor's office doesn't like the legislature. Again, it's not not true. I mean, there's a lot of legislators out there that we work with, we work great with. And the other thing that I want to make sure I get across is, you know, these discussions, a lot of this, and we view a lot of this as constructive criticism. The auditor's office is not above needing to make improvements ourselves. And so through some of these conversations, we've identified that, yeah, we're going to do better with some of our billing procedures. We want to be more clear on the services that we provide, the time that goes into that. We also want to make sure that we're improving the communications that we have with our clients, because there's been some confusions there as we, you know, if it's a city client, we might work with the city auditor, but there might be city council members that may not be fully involved. Well, we want to make sure that the city council and the city auditor, that everybody gets the information. So we're going to evaluate our communication strategies there. And then we want to make sure as we go into all of these engagements, we're evaluating our cost proposals. We want to make sure that there are no surprises. So those are some of the things in these discussions. Clearly, we need to do better in the auditor's office with a lot of that information up front, and we are. We're already beginning that process to incorporate some of those things, rather than just say, hey, we think an audit's going to be $15,000. We actually want to break it down and give a little more detail into that. So those are some of the things that are happening that will come out of this session that are a positive. Again, more transparency is always better.
Yeah. Are you going to run again in 2024?
I can tell you it's my intent right now to run for re-election. I love being the state auditor of North Dakota, and I would love to continue serving in this capacity for another term.
Well, yeah, I think
we have a lot
job.
More work that we need to do.
Well, yeah,
I appreciate it, Rick.
Your job is pretty extensive. I mean, all of these agencies need to be audited at least once every 2 years. I mean, that's phenomenal. Oh, I've got one question for you, Josh. Higher ed.
Well,
so you do operational audits for higher ed, right?
Those are performance audits.
Performance audits. Tell the listeners what a performance audit is.
For higher education, well, under government auditing standards, we follow performance auditing where we're evaluating procedures. We're looking at results. Are these entities doing the best they can with the resources they're provided? And so we have a lot more discretion on how to develop our auditing procedures and objectives to make sure that we can help these entities be the best that they can be. The other types of audits that we do are financial statement audits. Well, that's where the client has their financial statements, and our job is to express an opinion on those financial statements. There are over 80 state agencies that we audit every 2 years, as you mentioned. There are nearly 2,000 local government entities across the state that we work with day in and day out. They're required to provide information to us. We evaluate that. We work with them. So, yes, we have a huge set of responsibilities, a very wide set. In fact, we're also involved in oil country out west. We have a federal mineral royalty division where they evaluate all of the extraction and the royalty payments paid to the federal government. The great thing about that is if we know what's paid to the federal government, we also know what's owed to the state. And so we work with the feds and we work with the Treasurer's Department to make sure that all of those funds, those minerals are being extracted, that they're paying the proper share back to the state.
Gotcha. Hey, listen, I just figured things out here so we've got listeners that are sending in messages. One of them is saying that I'm tossing softballs and wondering if we're going to have dinner tonight. We're not, but I suppose these are softballs. I'm not sure of some difficulties I personally have with what you're doing. So I can't really go there. But there is another question here that I wanted to ask you. The building fraud with the Attorney General's office. Listener is asking about that. Where is that investigation at?
Okay, so the auditor's office, the legislature called us in to actually conduct that review, and we did that. They gave us 90 days to evaluate the information. We handed that over to them. The legislature decided to refer that for further investigation to the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office then outsourced that to the Montana Department of, I think, Criminal Investigation. That investigation, as far as I understand, is still underway.